Welcome to the Preconception Podcast, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to guiding women through the preconception period. Our mission is to make sure you have the information you need in order to have the healthiest pregnancy possible, whether that happens next month or next year. The decisions you make today can significantly impact the health of you and your future children for years to come. So each week on our podcast, we'll discuss one piece of the preconception puzzle. This way, you can enter pregnancy empowered, informed, and in the best health possible. Join us on your journey and have today be the day you start planning your perfect pregnancy. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Preconception Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about when you should stop your birth control before trying to conceive. And so this is a question that I get a lot from women, and it depends on a few things, including when you want to get pregnant, but mostly it has to do with which type of birth control you're using before pregnancy. Now, you may be wondering, well, isn't birth control for women who don't want to get pregnant? And yes, of course, that's true. So in theory, you just have to stop it to get pregnant. And for most birth control methods, that's true. You stop it and then it stops working and you continue on with trying to get pregnant. But one of the most important components of the preconception period is not getting pregnant until you want to. The goal of this time period is to take the time to plan out the individual steps that you need to improve your chances of having a healthy pregnancy when the time does come. And that includes preventing pregnancy until you've completed those steps and are ready to become pregnant. So when to stop your birth control is actually a really important topic because it dictates when you might become pregnant and whether you'll be prepared at that time. Now, in order to make that decision, you need to understand how each method works and how long that effect lasts after you stop using it. So the information I'm going to share today is general, which means that you should always speak with your healthcare provider before stopping any kind of medication, including a form of birth control. This is especially true if you're using your contraception for a reason other than simply preventing pregnancy, such as suppression of endometriosis or treatment of acne, etc. So what I'm going to do is discuss each method, what it's called, the name that you might know it by, how it works to prevent pregnancy, how long it's good for, so you know how long you can theoretically continue to use it, how effective it is, so you know how well it's actually preventing pregnancy, and then how long it continues to work after you discontinue it. So let's start by talking about one of the most effective methods, the implant, also known as Nexplanon. So the implant is this neat little rod that goes in your arm. It's placed in the office by a healthcare provider, and it contains the hormone progesterone. And so the way that this implant works is mainly it suppresses ovulation, which means it prevents you from releasing an egg every month that can then be fertilized and result in a pregnancy. It also increases the thickness of the cervical mucus and changes the endometrium, which is the lining of the uterus, to make implantation of a fertilized egg less likely. And it actually does this really well. So the implant is over 99% effective, which means that less than 1 out of 100 women who use the implant will get pregnant in any given year. And so this is one of the most effective birth control methods that we have available today. The Nexplanon implant is approved for use for up to 3 years, although recent studies have actually shown it to be effective up to 5 years, and so some offices will use it off-label until that time. That's good to know because if you, for instance, are wanting to get pregnant in a year, but you've already had your implant for 3 years, it may not feel worth it to get another one for a year. So this means that you may be able to talk with your healthcare provider and determine that you can actually keep it in. So that's something to keep in mind with this. Now, when you remove the implant, it essentially is not effective as soon as you remove it. The hormone levels decrease by half within a day, and they're completely eliminated within a week of removal. Now, because the implant suppresses your ovulation, so it prevents you from ovulating, you may not see an immediate return of your cycles. Sometimes when we stop using hormonal birth control methods, it can take a month or so to see a return to normal cycles. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't start trying right away. You certainly can. The only downfall would be that you may not know exactly how far along you are, like you would be better able to if you were tracking your cycles and were having regular menstrual cycles again. All right, moving on to the IUD. So IUDs have become way more popular nowadays than they used to be. And there are two different types of IUDs. There's hormonal IUDs and copper IUDs. So we're going to talk about the hormonal IUD first. There are several different brands of hormonal IUDs, and they vary in the dose of hormone available in them and also how long they're good for. So the most common ones that you may have heard of are the Skyla, the Kylena, the Lyletta, or the Mirena. And these all work the same way. They continuously release this hormone called levonorgestrel, which is another type of progesterone. And essentially what this does, similar to the implant, is that it thickens the cervical mucus, which makes it more difficult for sperm to pass through the cervix and into the uterus. There's also some effect on sperm survival, and so it's thought that this may actually prevent the sperm from surviving as long as well, and alters the lining of the uterus, similar to the implant. The biggest difference is that hormonal IUDs do not always prevent you from ovulating. So ovulation is inhibited in about 25 to 55% of women who use the Mirena, which is the highest dose. This means that the lower dose IUDs like Skyla and Kylena are even less likely to inhibit ovulation. And so the effects are really from the local changes that happen in the cervix and the uterus, and less from the systemic ovulatory changes that we see with the implant. So hormonal IUDs are good for anywhere between 3 to 7 years, depending on which one you have. The Mirena IUD was previously approved for up to 5 years, but similarly to the implant, is now used off-label and can be used for up to 7 years. The IUD is also highly effective, and less than 1% of women will get pregnant using the IUD. Similarly to the implant, hormonal levels decrease by half in less than a day, and so you can essentially become pregnant immediately after removal. Although the concentrations may actually decrease more quickly than the implant because of the lower dosage that is absorbed systemically, and so full elimination likely occurs within just a few days. For many women, specifically women who did not have suppression of ovulation when they were on the IUD, they may have continued to have regular periods or some type of bleeding. And so if you're someone who's continuously ovulated with the IUD, you may have never actually had an interruption in your cycles and likely will continue to have regular cycles after you remove it. But for those people who had regular cycles before insertion of the IUD, we can expect that your cycles will typically return within a month or so of removal. Next up, we have the copper IUD. Now, this is one of the only non-hormonal options that we'll be talking about today. And the exact mechanism of how the copper IUD works is not fully understood, but when the copper IUD is in the uterus, it continuously releases copper into the uterus. And so it's thought that this copper essentially interferes with sperm transport and fertilization. It almost makes this like hostile environment for sperm, so they don't live as long and they're not able to reach the egg. There may also be some component of it preventing implantation as well. In the US, there's a copper IUD called the Paragard that's approved for 10 years, but like the other methods we spoke about, it's used off-label and has been shown to be effective for up to 12 years. The great thing about the copper IUD for women who are looking to conceive is that there is an immediate return to fertility as soon as you remove the IUD. Because there is no hormonal component, you will get your periods on a regular basis when you have the copper IUD. And so as soon as you pull that copper IUD out, you can get pregnant. Like the hormonal IUD, the copper IUD is incredibly effective. Less than 1% of women get pregnant every year using the copper IUD, although it may be slightly less effective than the hormonal IUDs just because it doesn't have that hormonal component. Okay, now let's move to talking about some of the shorter acting birth control options. The ones that we just spoke about, you can essentially set it and forget it. They are good for several years, sometimes over a decade in the case of the copper IUD, and it doesn't really require you to do anything once you have it. The next methods that we're going to talk about, though, require you to do something more frequently. And so one of the ones that I'd like to discuss that is actually really important when it comes to timing is the contraceptive shot. This is often known as Depo-Provera. Like the implant and hormonal IUDs, the Depo is a progesterone-only method. And the way that this works is it alters your hormones to prevent you from having a mature follicle ovulate. It also thins the endometrium, which makes the lining of the uterus less hospitable for a fertilized embryo. And so what you'll notice is that many of these methods actually have multiple ways that they work, and that's what makes them so effective. So it's almost like a fail-safe. Like if one method doesn't work, like for some reason you do ovulate through the Depo-Provera, you know, it may be that the embryo doesn't implant into the uterus because of this really thin lining that it causes. It also provides some positive benefits other than pregnancy prevention, such as less or no periods. And so all of these progesterone-only methods over time tend to cause lighter, shorter periods. And some people may actually stop getting their periods altogether while they're using the method. Now, in contrast to the other methods we spoke about, the Depo shot is only good for about 12 weeks or 3 months. And so this requires that you go back to the office usually and get this shot every 3 months. However, the interesting thing about the Depo shot is while it's not considered effective after 3 months at preventing pregnancy, the effects can actually last for several months after that. And so in a small percentage of women, the Depo shot can actually prevent them from becoming pregnant for up to 4 to 7 months after the last injection. And so this is really important to know because if you're someone who wants to become pregnant in, let's say, 3 months and you're due for your Depo shot, you may want to consider switching to an alternative method for those next 3 months. That's not to say that if you got your Depo shot and then in 3 months when it was up and you were due for another one, you wouldn't be able to get pregnant. A lot of people certainly do get pregnant, and I would say most people do get pregnant. But there is this known delayed return to fertility in a small percentage of women. And so if the timing of your conception is something that's really important to you, this may be something to consider when choosing this method. Of note, though, the Depo shot is only about 96% effective, which means that 4 out of 100 women will become pregnant every year using it. And so for the percentage of women who don't have this delayed return fertility, there is a slightly higher chance of becoming pregnant when you don't want to than with the methods that we discussed previously. So the next method I want to talk about is the contraceptive ring, also known as the Nuva ring in the U.S. So the Nuva ring is the first method that we're going to talk about that includes both estrogen and progesterone. So the methods that we've talked about up until this point have just contained progesterone. Methods like the ring, the patch, and the pills all contain estrogen and progesterone. They're called combined hormonal contraceptives, and so they work a little bit differently. When it comes to the ring, the primary mechanism is still to prevent ovulation and cause changes in the cervical mucus and the endometrium of the uterus. But because it has this estrogen component, you're more likely to have a regular period. So this period that still comes on a monthly basis. Nuva rings are good for 3 weeks. And the way they work is that you leave them in for 3 weeks, you take them out for a week, which is when you get your period, and then you put another one back in and start the cycle again. Now, in the U.S., there was just recently a new ring that was approved called Annovera. This was approved for 1 year use. And the way that it works is you actually do the same thing that you would do with the Nuva ring, where you use it for 3 weeks, take it out for a week, and then repeat the cycle. Except with this ring, you're not using a new ring, you're using the same ring. And so you're saving that ring once you take it out and then just replacing that same ring into the vagina after your period. So in general, with these shorter acting methods, the shorter acting they are, the faster it leaves your system when you stop using it. And so the contraceptive ring hormone levels will decrease by half within a day and completely leaves your system within just a few days. The best way to make sure that you don't have a disruption of your period when discontinuing use of the NuvaRing is just to continue the NuvaRing through the 3 weeks, and then when you would normally take it out and get your period, you just stop using it then. In many women who do this, their period continues just like normal, and you can get pregnant right away. All right, so the next method we'll talk about is the contraceptive patch. This is usually found in a generic form, but one of the brand names is called Zulane. And the contraceptive patch works similarly to the ring, except that every week you have to change the patch. So you change the patch and put a new one on for 3 weeks in a row, and then on the fourth week, you don't use one, you get your period, and you repeat the cycle. And so just like the ring, the patch is two hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and it works by preventing ovulation, changing the cervical mucus, and changing the lining of the uterus to make it thinner. When you stop using the patch, hormone levels decrease to essentially zero within just a few days. And so similar to the NuvaRing, you can essentially get pregnant as soon as you stop using this. And again, with this, if you want to avoid disrupting your cycles, you can just continue it for the 3 weeks. And then once you stop using it, you'll start your menstrual cycle. All right. So lastly, we'll talk about the pill. This is by far the most common birth control method. And the birth control pill works very similar to the NuvaRing and the patch. It prevents ovulation, thickens cervical mucus, thins the lining of the uterus, etc. It's similarly effective to the patch and the ring. And so they're all about 93% effective, which means that on average, about 7 women out of 100 will become pregnant every year using these methods. But the biggest difference is that with the oral pills is that you have to take them every day. And so if you miss a pill, you can easily get pregnant, which means that when you stop your birth control pills at the end of your pill pack and get your menstrual cycle, you can get pregnant the next cycle, typically without any issue. Now, of course, there are other methods of preventing pregnancy, like condoms, diaphragms, fertility awareness methods, spermicide, the pull-out method, or withdrawal, as we call it in the medical community. But these are single-use options, and so use them. They hopefully prevent pregnancy when you want them to, although they are much less effective than the other methods that we spoke about today. But they don't require any forethought, if you will. You just stop using them, you can start trying to conceive, and that's that. So I hope this episode was helpful, whether you want to try to conceive in the next couple of months or whether you're looking for a birth control method that you can use until you do want to conceive. We'd really appreciate if you could leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends about the Preconception Podcast. I know that not everyone likes to talk about pregnancy planning because it's still seen as this taboo subject, but in reality, we could use the support during this time, right? There's so many things that we might be changing in our diet. We might be starting new exercise regimens. We need recommendations on supplements and which prenatal vitamins to start and which providers we want to see for our pregnancy. And there's all these things that we can plan ahead of time in the preconception period. And there's just no reason why we need to do it alone. So I encourage you, be the person who talks about this. Talk to your friends, talk to your family, encourage them to talk to you about it, and share this wealth of information that we are trying to provide with anyone you know who might be trying to conceive, whether that's now or in the next year or two. As a reminder, you can also get a special discount off of your preconception tests with the promo code PODCAST. So just enter that at checkout at preconceptiontest.com and you'll get a special discount on the price. Lastly, we would love to know what topics you guys want to hear about. So please message us on Instagram at preconceptiontest or email us at podcast@preconceptiontest.com. I read each and every email that comes in and I'm always looking forward to hearing your suggestions about what you guys want to hear us talk about here. So until next time, I'm wishing you a beautiful, healthy, exciting preconception journey. And we'll see you back here next week on the Preconception Podcast. Bye, guys.
The information provided in the Preconception Podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be interpreted as medical advice. Please speak with your healthcare provider to learn more about your health before pregnancy.